Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, hey, y'all, good morning. First time I've ever preached by a bear today, so we'll see how this goes. He'll probably get kicked at some point. Well, hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. And while you're turning there, a couple quick announcements. If you are newer to the church and would like to get to meet some other new people and meet some of the staff, the pastors, and eat some really good food, then next Sunday night, join us at 5 p.m. at one of our members' homes. We'll give you their address after you sign up. You can scan that code, look in your program. If you're old school like me, call the church office. We'd love to have you. Super chill, laid back, outside, cookout, again, to meet other new people in the church and some of the leaders of the church. And then also, if you're newer and would like to get involved, learning how to serve, maybe even join the church, join us 2 weeks from today for our Discover class on Sunday the 29th at 9 a.m. during the first service. You can also sign up for that. And then lastly, I just want to say thank you. So many of you are taking the three-month giving generosity challenge we put out before the church and going above and beyond, honoring God in our finances, putting him number one. We have had more first-time givers to this church in the past 3 weeks than we've ever had in the history of the church. It's awesome. Let's give God praise for that. God is working in people's hearts. For those of you that took that challenge, I want to encourage you to stick with that commitment you made. I promise you, you cannot outgive God. I'm getting text, emails, calls. People are pulling me aside in the lobby, telling me awesome God things that are happening as they are honoring God on their finances, like miraculous level stuff in many cases. So I'm telling you, it is the one time in the Bible God says, test me. And it's about our tithes and offerings. And we have done that and he is blessing. So just thank you so much. And on that note, if you were at our family meeting last Sunday night, you heard me say that the Lord has put in front of us what could be a very strategic opportunity that we did not ask for, we did not pursue, we did not initiate. We got a phone call about the opportunity we have as a church to purchase a piece of property in a brand new building that could be utilized for our student ministry, opening up all kinds of new opportunities for our mercy ministry and classroom space. And we've already had four families step up and say, hey, I want to commit to investing in that so that we can pull that off. So what we're doing is we're just praying as a church family this whole summer for the next 3 months about whether or not the Lord would have us make that investment. But one of the ways we're discerning if God's in it is to see if he wells up in the hearts of our people that. So I want to challenge you, if this piques your heart at all, if God's blessed you, and you're like, hey, I would go above and beyond to help these four other families invest in making this happen, pull me aside and we could talk details about that. And let's just see what the Lord has for our church, okay? Well, hey, again, happy Father's Day. If we've not told you already, it reminds me of a story. I heard about a 92-year-old gentleman that had not been feeling well. So he decided to go to his doctor one day, told him what's up. And the doctor, you know, gave him some things to do. A few days later, his physician saw this gentleman walking down a street with the most beautiful young lady by his side. And this fella just seemed to be as happy as he could be. The doctor was kind of surprised. He said, man, you look like you're feeling a lot better, if you know what I mean. The gentleman said, yeah, doc, I just took your orders. You said, go get you a hot mama and stay cheerful. The doctor said, no, 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 I didn't say that. I said, you have a heart murmur. Be careful. So to all of our older daddies out there, happy Father's Day, but watch out for them hot mamas and them heart murmurs. They'll get you when you least expect it, and they're bad news. All right, so today we're in week 12 of our verse-by-verse study, the book of Ephesians. Would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word? We're just gonna look at one verse today, Ephesians 2, verse 6. But to remind us of the context, we're gonna read verses 4 through 6. Remember last week in verses 1 through 3, we learned that before Jesus saves us, we are dead in our sin. Verse 4, though, but God. but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Now here's today's verse 6. God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ. Thank you. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, would you open up our hearts to understand your word? I pray that your Holy Spirit would help me to rightly divide the scriptures. God, we pray that nothing will be said today that is not pleasing to you or a right explanation of your word. But Lord, we just pray that you would help us to have ears to hear and encourage us through this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Well, today we're gonna look at one of the most foundational doctrines in all of the Bible, the doctrine that's called union with Christ. You really can't understand the gospel and the New Testament without understanding this doctrine of union with Christ. John Murray, the great theologian, defined it in this way, or he said this about union with Christ. He said, union with Christ is the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. So let me define it for you, and then we'll back into the text and look at it, okay? Union with Christ means this. It is the spiritual reality whereby we as believers are joined to Christ through faith, such that what is true of Jesus becomes true of us. So this spiritual union we have with Jesus through faith, it's the means by which space and time are transcended and we share in all the benefits of Jesus' work and history on our behalf. Is that clear as mud? All right, let me try again. The doctrine of union with Christ means that through our faith in Jesus, we become spiritually one with Jesus. So that in God's eyes, we are united to Christ. Meaning, when God sees us, he sees Christ because we're one with him. Now let's go back to our text and look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul here is speaking about what happens to a man or a woman or a child when they are converted or saved. And in one little verse here, three times, Paul is going to use the phrase with Christ or in Christ. So we've underlined them, and I want to read the verse again. And each time we get to the underlined portion, I'd love for you to read it out loud with me. Okay, let's do this together. Here we go, verse 6. God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ Jesus. So if you're taking notes, many of you have your little Ephesians journal you're taking notes in, or if not, pull out your Bible. And I want to encourage you to circle those three phrases in verse number 6. With Christ, and in Christ. And then out in the margin of your Bible or journal, write the phrase union with Christ. So that in a year from now, when you're reading your Bible, you're like, oh yeah, that's what that means. Now that phrase you see at the end of verse 6, in Christ Jesus, Paul uses that phrase 164 times in the New Testament. He uses it 36 times alone just in the book of Ephesians. So the apostle Paul cannot talk about what it means to be saved without referring to the believer's union with Jesus. So what I want us to do is just look at maybe a dozen of those 36 references in Ephesians alone. We're just gonna rapid fire read through them. And every time you see that phrase, in Christ or with Christ, we're gonna have it underlined. So I want you guys to, again, say it out loud with me. I just want you to see how integral and central this is to Paul's theology, okay? Here we go. Let's start back in chapter 1, verse 1 of the letter where we were 12 weeks ago. To the faithful saints in Christ Jesus. All right, I need a little more, a little louder. All right, here we go. Verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Much better, for he chose us, how? In Christ before the foundation of the world. Verse 5. God predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us. How? In the beloved Christ. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Verse 11, in Christ we have also received an inheritance. Verse 13, in Christ you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 4, but God made us alive, how? With Christ. Today's text, verse 6, he also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ. You feel the redundancy here? That's on purpose. You're like, we're saying the same thing over and over and over again because God wants us to get it over and over and over again. Who is a Christian? It is a man or a woman or a child that is in Christ. That is our identity. You cannot rightly see yourself, believer, outside of Christ. Where Christ is, there you are. This is who we are. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages God might display, this will be next week's verse, the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us, how? In Christ Jesus. All right, get going again. Here we go, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Chapter 2, verse 13. But now how? In Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And in chapter 2, verse 22, in Christ you also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Look at this. We could go 36 times, but I'd wear y'all out. In Ephesians, believers are never talked about independently of Christ. We are only understood in terms of our union with Jesus. Where we are child of God, there Christ is. Everything that God has done to save us is only in and through Jesus. Let's read through again a litany, a summary here. Next slide. We are blessed, verse 3, in Christ. Next slide. We are chosen, verse 4, in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ, verse 7. We have an inheritance in Christ, verse 11. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit in Christ, verse 13. God made us alive with Christ, chapter 2, verse 5. Look, the Bible is so clear. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. He is the only way. God never has, God never will save anyone except from only through Jesus. It's the only way. All that God is doing to save is through Christ and Christ alone. And now today in chapter 2, verse 6, our text, God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Prepare to have your mind and your brain stretched today. You're gonna walk out of here with your brain hurting a little today. And that's good because that's gonna drive us to deeper trust in God. In a supernatural, divine way that transcends time and space, in God's eyes, believer, we are spiritually united to and one with Jesus. Child of God, verse 6 teaches that right now, Christian, you are in two places at one time. Child of God, but right now you are seated with Jesus in the heavens in Christ. Meaning, among other things, when you feel really lonely, you're not actually alone. You are with Jesus. When we feel really sad, we don't have to shed those tears by ourselves because we are with Christ. When we are afraid, we don't have to fear because we're with Jesus. When we feel forgotten, at least one did not forget us. We're with Jesus. Listen, there's nowhere in this life that you can go that Christ won't be because he's in you and you're in him. You're on the operating table for that surgery next month. Christ is in you. You're in the cancer clinic for those chemo treatments. Christ is in you. You're standing over the deathbed of your mother. Christ is in you, grieving and weeping with you. You're sitting in a quiet, empty home because the kids have grown up and moved off. It's actually not an empty nest because Christ is in you and he's there. You're staring at a stack of bills and you got no idea how you're going to pay them. Christ, the provider, is in you. You're wondering if your rocky marriage can make it another year. Oh, friends, don't grow weary. Christ is in you. See, wherever you are, there Christ is. Where you see you, you'll see Christ. It reminds me of my grandparents. If you've been around our church for a long time, you feel like you know them. They're in heaven, but I talk about them all the time. James and Zelma Stallings. Mamas, if any of y'all are pregnant with a little baby girl and you're looking for a name, Zelma is a great name to have. See, we'll be destined for greatness. Well, think about my grandma and papa Stallings, married right near 75 years, is when you saw one, you saw the other. You did not see one without the other. When my granddaddy went to the stockyard to buy cattle, there was grandma right there with him. When my granddaddy was out in the field rounding up the cattle, there my grandma was there with him. One time, a big bull took off and ran her right over and broke her hip. She sacrificed for granddaddy. Well, she probably shouldn't have made light of that. It wasn't very pleasant at the time for grandma to get run over by a bull. But when my papa went to the Shoney's in Hoptown every Tuesday evening for that fresh homemade strawberry pie, there was grandma there with him. But then when after they got the strawberry pie and Grandma Stallings wanted to go to the JCPenney to get her a pretty new red dress, there was my papa there with her, and he paid for it. When they were sitting on the couch at night, shelling beans and shucking corn, watching the Waltons together, there they were together on the couch, sitting on the second row, front left side of the East Cady's Baptist Church, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every workers' meeting, every business meeting, every revival, every training union, there they were together, grandma elbowing my granddaddy so he'd stay awake during the long-winded sermon. You didn't see one without the other. They were connected at the hip, stuck like glue in your country music moment of the week by Sugarland. And look, the same is true with the believer in Christ. Christian, listen, seriously. You won't see us without seeing Christ. Wherever we are, Christ is there because we're in him. So that's the 30,000-foot view of the doctrine of union with Christ. Now let's go deeper. Believer, the Bible says we are in Christ. Next question, where is Christ? Let's see what the text says. Go back to verse 6. God also raised us up with Christ and seated us in Christ. Now, where is he? In the heavens, in Christ Jesus. Okay, where is Christ? In the heavens. Now, flip back one page, chapter 1, verse 20. Look at what the text says. God exercised this power in Christ by raising Christ from the dead and seated Jesus where? At his right hand, where? In the heavens. So where is Christ? In the heavens, seated at the right hand of God. Now, let me back up for a moment. In some sense, Christ is what we call omnipresent or everywhere because Jesus currently is here through the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, today on Trinity Sunday. So in some sense, Christ is here through his Spirit. But in the tangible, physical sense, Christ, the man that was raised from the dead with scars still in his hands and feet, Christ, the person, in the realistic sense, is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Now, that phrase you see there at the end of verse 20, in the heavens, it's the same phrase from chapter 2, verse 6 today. Christ is in the heavens. And it's actually back in chapter 1, verse 3 again. Christ is in the heavens. So again, let's just walk through this very slowly so we get it. Where does the Bible say Christ is? In the heavens. So if we are in Christ, therefore, where are we? In the heavens. Verse 6 says it. God also raised us up with Christ. and seated us with Christ, where? In the heavens, in Christ. We're going to just do repetition today, all right? Where is Jesus? In the heavens. Therefore, if you're in Jesus, where are you? In the heavens. Is your brain hurting yet? Believers, spiritually speaking, from God's vantage point, you are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Wow. Go back to the very first verse of the letter to the Ephesians. Paul begins this letter with this doctrine. Look what he says in verse number one. The Bible teaches every true Christian is in two locations right now. Here we go, verse one. To the faithful saints in Christ Jesus, that's your first location, at Ephesus, that's location number two. So Paul's writing this letter to a little group of Christians in a city called Ephesus. He says, hey, y'all are in two places right now. He says, you're in Jesus, who's up there in heaven, but you're also down here sitting in them church pews. See, every Christian has a human address and a divine address. We're here on earth, but we're also seated with Jesus in the heavens. Now, I want to make sure y'all get your money's worth today, all right? We're going to go to seminary class and do a couple big words here. Bear with me. This is Don Carson's language that I'm using here from a lecture I listened to last week from him. This doctrine of our union with Christ can be called the spatial equivalent of inaugurated eschatology. Say that seven times real fast. If you're at work tomorrow and somebody says, what'd you learn at church? Say, I learned about the spatial equivalent of inaugurated eschatology. You should come to church with me. It's great. And they'll never come with you. Now, let's just break this down a little bit. The word eschatology is the study of the end times. Okay, so the root word there, eschaton, means end times. Ology just means study of. So it's what's going to happen in the end when Jesus Christ comes back to earth to create a new heavens and a new earth. So we know that in the end, Christians, we will be with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth, right? Everybody tracking with me? Okay, but when Jesus saves a person, he goes ahead and deposits some of heaven in us now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience heaven. Christ saves us in such a way that the deal is already sealed. When God saves a person, there ain't no holding on to the end to see how this thing goes. No, God saves us so thoroughly, so comprehensively. God saves us so definitely. God saves us so completely. Listen, it's as though in God's mind, you are already in heaven. That's what verse 6 is teaching. Let's read it again. God also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Believer, we're not yet physically in heaven, but we're as good as there. We're as good as there. Brian Chappell writes, quote, eternity has been compressed into a present reality in God's accounting. How? You want to keep making your brain hurt? God is outside of time. You understand? God's not like, oh man, I missed that appointment. God's outside of time. He is the beginning, the end, the alpha, the omega. Our tomorrow is God's yesterday. With God, a year is 1,000 days or 1,000 years is a day. He's outside of time. So God, through Christ, is already experiencing with us what we will experience 10 million years from now in some sense. So how do we know that even though we're not yet in heaven, it's as though we actually are to God? It's because God always finishes what he starts. He who began a good work in you, believer, Philippians 1:6, will bring it to completion. God's not going to start a work in you and not finish it. God chose us before the world began, Ephesians 1:4. Paul started his letter by saying, before the foundations of the world, God chose us, how? In Christ. And the same God who chose you from the beginning will keep you and save you in the very end. So even though the full glory of heaven is still yet to come in the physical sense, our enthronement with Christ has already happened in the spiritual sense. Wow. Verse 6, God also raised us up with Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, a resurrection has happened to you. You're Lazarus. We were dead, and Christ raised us from the dead and seated us with himself. Now, look at that phrase, raised us up, in verse 6. It comes from a Greek word whose root is the word syn, S-Y-N. We know this from computers. That's where we get the word sync. Right, so we sync our phones with our computers, right? So you plug them in and you can transfer the music, for example, from your iPhone to your laptop. You sync them up. Well, believer, the Bible says we have been synced with Christ. What God has done for Christ and through Christ, he did at the same time for believers. So that what is true of Jesus is true of us who would place our faith in Jesus. We call this realized eschatology. God's made a deposit already of how eternity is going to be in a real way in his mind. So again, keep allowing your spiritual minds to be stretched for greater faith in the Lord. In a way that is beyond our comprehension, track with me. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, believer, you died with him. Let me show you just a few verses teaching this. I could give you many. Romans 6:3, all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Two verses later in verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified. Look, with Jesus. It's just mind-blowing that Jesus' crucifixion counted for us as though we were being crucified with him. Colossians 3, for you died, believer, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So in a time-transcending way, when Christ died, we died with him. But not only that, when Jesus got up from the grave 2,000 years ago, we got up with him. His resurrection is our resurrection. Verse 6, God also raised us up, how? With Christ. And now in verse 6 today, as Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the Bible says, believer, you are seated with him. So let's just do this again. Believer, where are you right now? Okay, well, it's a bit nuanced. Your rear end is in that seat, trying to stay awake. But in God's world, in God's framework, in God's economy, you're also sitting down in heaven with Jesus. So you're like, okay, what does that mean? How does this practically change anything about my life? This all just seems like super theological and transcendent and mystical. Well, here's what it could mean. When you feel really down, depressed, when you feel so down, you gotta remember, you're actually raised up in Christ. See, when you feel so low, you got to know you're actually really, really high in Christ. Normally, we don't want you to be high, but in this case, it's great to be high in Christ. Listen, when you are so tired mentally, emotionally, psychologically, when you can't stand another day, You don't have to stand, believer, because you have been seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Because you look at the average church member in America today, and many of us are either angry or depressed. Why? It's because we don't understand that we are seated with Christ in heaven. I don't understand. I'm speaking to myself here. I get as angry and depressed as the next person. I gotta remind myself, Jameis, you are in Jesus, seated with Jesus in heaven. If we knew, Christian, where we truly are and who we are truly with, it would change us. It would lift our heads. It would give us joy, even in the middle of the pain and the depression, because, child of God, we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. All right, let's conclude like this. Let's drill in on that little phrase, seated with Christ. All right, back to verse 6. God also raised us up with Christ and seated us. If you want to highlight or underline that in your notes, seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ Jesus. All right, it's Father's Day. So my dad passed away about a decade ago. Here's a picture of Dad. It's the last picture I took of him at a UK basketball game at Rupp Arena. That was in, I think I took that in February. And he passed away that April. At the time of that game, he was in very good health. Got a rare freak anomaly case of pancreatitis and was gone in 2 weeks, just like that. So that was Dad's last UK game. That was my last road trip with my dad. So just a quick word. This is not part of the text, but for those of you that still have your dads, I want to encourage you to spend time with him. Take him on a trip. Make memories. Go fishing. Go hunting. Go to a ball game. You know, whatever he likes to do. Do it while you can. Because I can tell you from experience, you never know when it'll be the last time. Here's the thing about my dad. When you went to Dad's house there in Katy, Kentucky, he didn't want you standing up. Dad had a rule. When in his house, you had to sit down, almost in a way that was annoying and frustrating. He wanted you seated on that brown leather couch of Mama's with your shoes off and your feet propped up. It was the rule he had. His most common repeated phrase to me was, "Son, sit down and take a load off." All right, Dad, fine, I'll sit down, you know. Dad wanted his home to be a place of rest. See, my daddy wasn't the one, when he got you there, he'd put you to work. Hey, would you change that light bulb? Would you go do the weed eating? Hey, would you take it? No. My dad worked his rear end off all week so that when you got to his house, you wouldn't have to. Dad didn't want you taking out the trash. He didn't want you cleaning up the table after dinner. He didn't want you pacing the floor. Daddy wanted you to sit down and rest. It's a lot like what Jesus desires for us. Jesus doesn't want his children anxiously pacing the floor, striving and working so hard to try to make him happy. Jesus looks at his children and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Why? And I will give you rest." The anxious soul is a soul that has not learned to rest in Jesus. Have you learned to kick off your shoes and prop up your feet in the presence of Jesus, knowing that Jesus isn't necessarily asking anything out of you to do or to earn, but just to be with him? Remember the story of Martha and Mary? Mary understood that. Martha was doing all the stuff. Mary just sat in the presence of Jesus and rested, and Jesus said, "She gets it." Mary had a revelation that Jesus doesn't just want you to do stuff for him, but to be with him. Now, why do I say that in relation to this text? Go back and read it, verse 6. God also raised us up with Christ. Now, what did he do? He seated us with Christ in the heavens in Christ. Now, this is not a trick question. Why do you sit down? It's when you're tired. When do you sit down? It's when your work is finished. It's when you need to rest. So why does God raise us up with Jesus only to sit us down with Jesus? It's so that we can rest with Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. I love this verse. But Christ, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, that's the cross. What did Jesus do? He sat down at the right hand of God. That is so powerful. Jesus made one final sacrifice for our sins. He was raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And then Jesus took his shoes off and he sat down at the right hand of God. Why did Jesus sit down in heaven? Because Jesus was finished. Amen. Listen, that's why we sing that song, the real fast, upbeat song this morning, It Is Finished. That is straight inspired from the Bible right here. There is no more sacrifice to be made by Jesus or us for salvation. There is no more penance to complete. There is no purgatory to endure. No, 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 no. All that has to be done to save us has already been done by Jesus. And now Paul says in verse 6, when we come to faith in Jesus, look at this. He also raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavens in Jesus. Not only is Jesus seated, but when we believe in Jesus, we are seated with him. Why? God sets us down in Christ because there's nothing else for us to do to be saved. What are you going to do to save yourself now that Jesus has already done everything? God sets us down in Christ so that even as Jesus is sitting and resting, we too can sit and rest in Jesus. To be seated in Christ means all the work that needs to be done for our salvation has already been done. So go ahead, believers, kick them shoes off, prop them feet up, and enjoy Jesus and rest in him and cease all the striving and all the working. Psalm chapter 23. Many of you could quote it from memory. You see this principle of resting and Sabbath all throughout the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is the next phrase? He makes me what? Lie down in green pastures. I'm reading that like slowly and gently because that's the tone of the text. He's our shepherd. We're the sheep. He makes us lie down in green pastures. So, if you want to close your eyes, go in your mind to the most peaceful, beautiful countryside you've ever seen. Maybe it's out in the county somewhere here in Davis County, or maybe it's eastern Kentucky, or maybe it's Montana or Virginia. I don't know, like somewhere where you just look for miles and you just see valleys, maybe there's mountains and little streams, and you just see beautiful, lush grass. Okay, now, it's a spring day. It's 68 degrees, little breeze, partly cloudy. Just imagine yourself, got a little glass of lemonade, and you just lie down in the lush green grass. There's no mosquitoes. I mean, there's no gnats. I mean, it's just perfect, and you're just lying down. You take a little afternoon catnap and you just enjoy the weather. That's the picture God has for us spiritually in Christ. God makes us lie down and rest in green pasture. Now, why would he do that? Not so we can worry about our salvation, whether or not we're doing enough. Not so we can make sure we're doing our penance or throwing up enough Hail Marys or giving enough money to make God happy or, you know, working our fingers down to the bones to make sure we get into heaven. No, no, no. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not work hard and do all you can so you can get to heaven. The gospel is Jesus has done everything so you can go to heaven. It's finished. God sets us down in Christ. God makes us lie down in green pastures in Christ so we can enjoy all the work Jesus has already done. Brothers and sisters, it's finished. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. So to those of you this morning, and you're prone towards workaholism for Jesus, you're prone towards guilty conscience that you've never done enough. You're prone to always doubt your salvation because what if I've not been good enough? The word is cease striving. Rest in Christ. Trust him. He said, it is finished. Now, a final word, it's Father's Day. Dads, if you're anything like me, you often feel like a failure. Most dads that I know don't think they're all that. Maybe we project a sense of confidence or at times pride and arrogance, but most dads I know on the inside are very keenly aware of our shortcomings. Dads play the comparison game just like you ladies do. And we often feel like we've not done enough, or we're not good enough, or we're failures as fathers. It's very common. Men will never tell you that, but that's how most of them feel on the inside. A lot of guilt, a lot of shame. But brothers, you need to hear on Father's Day. Your acceptance before God is not based upon how good of a dad you are. Your acceptance before God is based upon what Jesus has done for you. And brothers, he has died for all of our failures and shortcomings as dads. Jesus has died for all of our failures as a husband. Young men, teenagers, you're battling lust. You're struggling so much. Jesus has died for all of your lustful thoughts and sins. And so if our trust is in him, if we've repented of our sins and believed in Jesus, there is no condemnation for you in Christ on Father's Day. None. Because you have been made clean by the blood of Jesus. And you can just, fellas, you can sit down after church today. Kick off your shoes, prop up your feet, put on them sweatpants. Throw on the old tank top. Eat you a big piece of pie. You know what? Make it two or three. And if your wife tries to shame you and make you go work out, you say, uh-uh. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to enjoy. And I don't have to do anything to earn God's approval. Because Jesus has died in my place. He has saved me. And I can sit down and rest in Jesus because it is finished. That is good news for weary saints this morning, isn't it? All right, let's bow our heads. I'd like to invite our music team and our ministry team, if they would, to come forward. Just want to encourage you to sit with the Lord for a few moments and ponder today's message. How might God be speaking to you? What does God have for you today? Is God calling you to repentance of sin for the first time, maybe? Maybe you've not been saved, and today God is saying, you can't earn your salvation. You can't be good enough. Confess your sins. Trust in Christ. Be saved today. Maybe you are a believer, and yet you still have this, you're so motivated by your deeds. And you have this compulsion that you got to do more to really earn God's acceptance. And you just need to repent of that sin and say, God, forgive me for trying to solidify what you've already done. And you just would say, God, help me to learn to rest in you. God, help me to truly believe the gospel that it has been done by Jesus. Maybe you would like to receive prayer this morning. You're struggling. Maybe you're doubting your salvation, or you're just worn out. You feel weary. On the big screens on the wall under those, there's going to be men and women standing. They would love to pray over you. That's our ministry team. You can come forward starting now through this next song, and they'd be happy to pray for you. And then after the service as well, you can go across the hallway in the lobby. There's a glass room. We'll be standing out there. They'd love to pray over you. So feel free to come at this time if you'd like to receive prayer. But let's just bow for a few moments and sit with the Lord. Talk to him, and then I'll close us out and we'll sing. Father, teach us to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we invite and plead with you to send your abiding, peaceful presence through the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, I pray for supernatural peace and rest for believers here in the next few minutes that maybe some of us haven't had in months or years. The palpable presence of the Spirit of God, that we are sealed in Christ. We are kept by Christ. We are safe in Christ. And Father, now as we sing this song, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that you would give your only Son to make a wretch your treasure. Oh God, as we sing this next song, Holy Spirit, would you energize our hearts to leap with joy at the thought of the work of Jesus on our behalf? God, awaken my heart to sing. Awaken our hearts, oh God, to see Christ by faith, to rejoice. God, I pray that we would sing this next song like we have never sang before, with great joy and with great faith that it is finished. Bless you, God. Receive now our song of praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand and sing this great hymn of the faith together.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.com. Dot CC.